for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Tuesday afternoon, July the 7th, 1998. 4th of July week family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Mildred Coffey of Millington, Tennessee is the teacher of the afternoon.
I didn't know I was going to preach it just a few minutes ago, but the Lord evidently knew it. Someone asked me to share some on binding and loosing and doing spiritual warfare in the heavenlies, and I'm going to start with that. I don't know where we're going, but we really need to do warfare. And as Mildred was talking just now about, see, us Mildreds really get with it. Praise the Lord. But as she was talking about entering into the kingdom, you know, you're not going to enter into the kingdom. Jesus, when he first came preaching, teaching, he said that we would cast out spirits and heal the sick and raise the dead and heal the lepers. But that was evident of the kingdom. And as we get free from the enemy, we just walk on into the kingdom of God. We're in, and you know, I want all that God's got for me. And I love to do what God's called me to do, but I like to just teach. And I do a lot of that in my church, but usually here I talk about the demonic side. Well, I do over there too. I don't care what I start on, I usually end up on deliverance. But if you will, I'm going to pray, but if you will, we're going to read a scripture in Luke. And it's already been talked about, but we're going to read it in just a minute. And I'm going to share a little bit on warfare and binding and loosing and warfare in the heavenlies. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us and your mercy and your grace. And Father, as we come to this afternoon, I bind the spirits over this place. I bind Satan's power in the heavenlies. I cut off the power from Satan in the name of Jesus to the demonic world that's attacking this world. In the name of Jesus Christ, we bind Satan's power. We cut off his communication in the name of Jesus. We cut off the power from the heavenlies, or principalities and powers and rulers and kings and thrones and dominions. We bind their power in the name of Jesus that would harass your people in Jesus' name. We bind the strong men, each one of us, and we ask, Father, for a covering, that your angels hover over us, that you put a shield around us, and we bind Satanism from the north, the south, the east, and the west. I bind the forces from the bottomless pit in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you for the authority that's in the name of Jesus Christ, the authority that we receive or we're seated in Christ Jesus in the third heaven as he's seated at the Father's right hand. Your word says we're seated in him. And in Jesus' name, at the name of Jesus, every name that has a name bows in heaven, in earth, and beneath the earth. And we just thank you, Father, for that authority in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. In Luke's Gospel, in chapter 10, in verse 19, and I know that if you good deliverance workers know this, if you don't, you should. As Jesus said, well, I want to start with verse 17. And the 70 returned again, saying, with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And then Jesus said, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you, hurt you. Now, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Jesus said, we're not to rejoice because demons are subject to us, but we're to rejoice because our name is written in heaven. But what I want you to see here is the authority that's in the name of Jesus. You know, sometimes we use his name like it's a magic wand or something. But he said, I give you authority and I give you power in the name of Jesus. And the authority is over all the power of the enemy. So who is your enemy? Satan is your enemy, and he's the arch enemy of believers. And we have authority to bind him. A lot of people are afraid to bind Lucifer himself. But you see, if you believe, you take that authority and you bind and you stand upon that authority. Remember that you're in Christ Jesus, you're seated with Christ in heavenly places, and your authority comes from the throne room of God Almighty. And we need to do this spiritual warfare. If we would do the binding in the heavenlies and bind the forces of darkness that are attacking, we would cut off some of this stuff that's going on. And you know, the enemy hates you when you start doing warfare. And hates you when you start doing deliverance. But he said, I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy. That means everything he's got, everything the devil's got, you've got authority over it in the name of Jesus Christ. And so I wanted to share this with you this afternoon. And over in Ephesians 6, it says we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but we're fighting against principalities, against rulers, against the wicked spirits in heavenly places, the darkness of this world. We're fighting against ruler spirits. Jim mentioned just afternoon the prince of Persia that stopped Daniel's prayer from coming through. You know, we don't just bind one time and everything's bound. We need to be in warfare continually fighting the enemy. You say, well, if I fight him all the time, I don't have time for the Lord. But if you don't fight him, then he comes in and he attacks, and you're unaware of it. He'll cut off your thinking where you and block you where you won't fight. I've had a couple of people come to me just since I've been here and talk about that they forget to bind when they're under attack. Do you do that? You've got authority to bind and loose. And that's not what I'm going to preach. I want to preach on the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The soul that sinneth. I was sitting in my house one day reading, and the Lord began to talk to me about this. And if you will, we're going to begin this over in Genesis in chapter 2. You know, I do a lot of teaching on soul. I hadn't done much lately, but In the very beginning of the scripture, God began to talk to us about sin. And in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, if the ladies don't mind me repeating myself, I'm going to back up a little bit and share something I shared upstairs. In verse 4, these are the generations of the heaven and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb in the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. I was looking at that, and I thought, you know, and he said every plant of the field before it was in the earth. He created it before it was in the earth. Did you ever see that before? Read it. It's there. I didn't say it. This way. He said, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth. And there was not a man to till the ground, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the earth. I have a feeling I'm going to kind of wander around this afternoon, because I'm going to go as the Holy Spirit leads me, okay? Yeah. It said, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. I was telling the girls that I was lying in bed one night, and I was listening to a scripture tape on Genesis, and I was kind of asleep, and I heard this verse, and there went up a mist. And you know, a mist is water, you know, fine, you know, mist of water, you know. And that was what I was trying to think, well, what are you saying there, Lord? And he said, and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. I saw in that, and as I read that, he said, for showing me that the mist was the water of the Word and the ground. The mist was the water of the Holy Spirit, and the ground was the Word. That didn't cost you anything or me anything. That wasn't where I'm going. Okay, but you know, the more we read the Word, the more little nuggets you get out of it. Well, I wanted to know what this mist was, so I was telling the girls upstairs. I went to my concordance and looked it up. I don't use concordance a whole lot, but once in a while I do. And I looked. Well, in fact, looking back at this Bible, I think it was three times that mist was used, and one of them was over in Acts 13. And Oh, praise the Lord. This is not what we thought we were going to do, Lord. In 13, chapter 13, we see in verse, let's see where I want to go. Verse 6. Well, verse 4 says, so they sent forth, being sent forth from the Holy Ghost, departed into Sicily. Let me skip this because I don't pronounce those words real well. It says, when they had gone, in verse 6, and when they had gone through the Isle of Patmos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus. I had never really associated the word false prophet and sorcerer together. But it tells you what a false prophet is. You ever done that? You ever looked at it and thought, the false prophet is a sorcerer? And I read it, you know, just read across it. That has nothing to do with what I'm sharing either. I just thought I'd throw that in. It didn't cost us anything. And he said, then verse 9 he said, well, verse 10 he said, but Elymas, well, let me back up to the, where I was in verse 6. A certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius, Paul, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so it is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. And then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thank you. Thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist, and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. So I went to the concordance and looked up that word mist, and I was reading that it said it was a veil, kind of a shield, several things. I don't remember all the things, but the one thing that really stuck with me was that the words, the concordance said that this mist was cataracts. A cataract came up on his eyes. That's what the word mist meant in this scripture. And I thought, that is really strange, Lord, that you brought that to me as I was lying in bed, that I need to go back and look at it, because I had been asking the Lord to show me. It wasn't strange, but I asked the Lord to show me where a lot of the things that happened to us come from. And sorcery, you hear what I'm saying? Sorcery is the root of cataracts. Look it up for yourself. Search it out for yourself. Don't let my word for it. Go back and look at it. But it also, the darkness that he was talking about here is no revelation. So he loosed this upon the sorcerer, Elymas, when he was trying to turn people away from the Lord. Witchcraft and sorcery, the false prophet, all try to lead people away from God. And when you are listening to the false prophets, and when we listen to those that prophesy those things and tell us the things that we want to hear, many times it leads us into error, and error leads us away from the Lord. You know, this is why we judge everything by the Word. Y'all looking at me like, what tree did I fall out of? Well, I fell out of the same one you did. Praise the Lord. I'll be back over in Genesis now, okay? Genesis in the 7th verse said, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils a breath of life, and man became a living soul. Man became a living soul when God put that water in the dust and made man and built man out of the dust of the earth, okay? And then he said, over in Genesis 2, in verse 18, he said, when he made man, I'm still in Genesis 2, when he made man, man had the ability to name all the animals. In verse 18, it says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. Adam was so smart, because he was made in the image of God. Because over in Genesis 1, it said that he was, and God gave him dominion. He was so smart, he named every animal. and every bird, everything God created. I was sharing this with our church, and I said, you know, he even named woman. He did. He was so smart. He was created in the image of God, and God made man to have dominion and to rule this earth. He did not make man for us to be always sick and always defeated by the devil. And until we get up and take our authority and start walking in what God has given to us, we will not walk as an overcomer. You know, I was sharing at the table the other morning, we talk about being overcomers. Do you know what the Word says in Revelation 15? It says that the overcomer is the one that overcomes the beast, the mark, the image of the beast, and the mark of the beast, and the number of the beast. So what's he talking about? We've got to overcome all this garbage. Over from Revelation 2 and 3, when it talks about those seven overcomers that overcome those different things, those are the things we've got to overcome. And we do it through prayers. We seek the Lord and we stand upon His Word and we become what God wants us to be. Overcome all the power of the devil. You say, well, I'm born again. The devil can't touch me. I have heard that till I want to scream. I'm born again. I'm blood bought, washed in the blood, cleansed by the blood, sanctified by the blood, justified by the blood, but I still fight the devil. And you know, but you should have asked Carol and Jack. They were in our car last night. We brought them back over here to let them to the where their house. And when we got in my car over at the house over there, I said to them, and Peggy, it was in the car with us, and Peggy can vouch for it. She can tell you. She's a witness. That's what I want. There was a demon in my car, and he was a big one. You say, how do you know? Because it took us about 10 minutes to get it out. All four of us praying. Jim was still in the house. And you know how I knew he was there? He was in my face, puffing and puffing, and they knew he was there because they smelled him. You said, well, that's rude. Well, it was rude of that demon to get in my face and stink. Excuse me, but smell up the place. He smelled at my car. You said, well, man, you're weird. Listen, we're fighting forces of darkness. And if you don't overcome them, they'll overcome you. You said, well, they can't overcome me. You get passive. You sit back. And when all the things that's coming from this earth hits this earth, are you prepared to fight it? You said, man, you're scaring me. I hope so. If I could get you into battle, the more we battle, the more we bind, the more we lose, the more we seek the Lord, the more we pray, the more we do deliverance, the sooner our Lord will come back. Because you see, he says he will come back when the enemy is put under our feet. He's already put them under his feet.
Yes.
But we've got to defeat him and put him under our feet. We get so heavenly minded, sometimes we're no earthly good. But God has called us. He called us his battle axe. He said, you're my weapons of war. And he's called us into battle to do battle. And the devil, you know what he's doing? He's killing the soul. I started off with the soul that's in it that shall die. He said, well, not mine. Well, let me ask you, can you walk in Genesis 1? Have you got everything under your feet? He said, and the Lord God said in Genesis 1, verse 26, he said, and the Lord God made us. Lord God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the earth and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and have dominion.
Yes.
We don't even have dominion over our own household. We don't have dominion over our own ground. And he's given it to us. But we've got to take it, and we take it, we sit back, and the reason we're not walking in the power and authority of this word is because the enemy has gotten open doors to us. Okay? Mighty quiet in here. Okay. Go over to Ezekiel chapter 18. I was sitting at my desk when the Lord began to talk to me about this. And he kept giving me the scripture, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And I thought, you know, what are you saying to me, Lord? I really want to know what you're saying. And so as I sat there, he began to give me these scriptures one at a time and show me what he was saying to me. And I said, but Lord, people don't want to know about this, about their soul. They usually just turn it off. And I said, you know, And he just continued to talk to him, and I just said, show me. And he said, over in Ezekiel 18, verse 4, he took me here first, and he said, behold, all souls are mine. If all the soul, our souls are God's, what else would Satan attack? He wants what's God's. And he said, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Then he said over in Romans chapter, praise the Lord, 6, I think is where I want to go. See, I thought when he was talking to me, I said, Lord, give me a scripture over in the New Testament to go with this. And he gave me Romans 6:23. He says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So he said over in Ezekiel, the soul that sinneth, and when a person sins, they open the door, a little part of them began to die. You know, the word says, the world says that when you're born into the world, and it's true, when you're born into the world, you begin to die. You know, you're on the way from the beginning to the end. And so, as he said, as he was showing me this, that the enemy started in the Garden of Eden. It all began in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned. Let me give you another scripture before I go any further in Romans. Go to Romans 14, verse 23. Says, he that doubteth is damned. And Paul was talking about eating certain things. He said, if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatever is not of faith is sin. Let me ask you something. What all do you do in your life let me rephrase that. Is everything you do in your life of faith? So he said, Paul said here, whatever is not of faith is sin. So that scripture tells me that we open the door continually or constantly or very real often through sin. And Lord, we got a whole load of that sin this morning, did we not? Backbiting. Oh, we had a lot of deliverance on that. I'm telling you, we went upstairs and worked on that. We had criticism. That's sin. And as Brother Jack told us this morning. And so, Paul says, whatever you do, that's not a sin, not a faith, it's sin. And so, we open the door for the enemy to attack us. And we say, well, he can't touch me. Some of you here are saying, well, you know, you can't touch me. And you're the one he's got deceived. And you know, every time the enemy takes a piece of your soul, and I wasn't going to even get into this, but I'm going to say it, but every time the enemy gets in there and gets a piece of your soul, he gives you something in place of it. Now, when Adam and Eve partook of the food, and I'm going to share a lot just without reading the scriptures, when they partook of the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the garden, they began to die. You know, God told them, said, you eat of this fruit and you're going to die. He told them there were two trees there, and he said, he didn't tell them they couldn't eat of the tree of life. But he told them, you cannot, don't eat of the tree, you can eat of every tree in the garden except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They already knew the good. So what happens? The devil comes in, Satan comes in, and you think he can't deceive you? Adam was made in God's image. He walked and talked with God in the cool of the day. And he was deceived. Eve was deceived. The word says Adam wasn't deceived, but Eve was deceived. And she was made and God made her. And they both walked with God. So, well, you know, I got Jesus. And that's true, we do. And so our pride gets in. You just sinned. You got spiritual pride. So they began to die. You know, they didn't die right then. You know, I used to think, I would say, well, they died spiritually. No, they still talked to God after they sinned. God still came back. He didn't. He come back and say, what'd you do? What'd you hide for? And they said, well, we didn't have on any clothes. And he said, how'd you know that? Did you take of the tree? He knew. So he came back and talked to them. And I used to look at that and say, well, you know, they died spiritually, so they had no communication with God, but they did. But they began to die physically. The soul that's in it, it shall die. And the soul began to die. And Satan likes death. He's trying to kill you and I. I've been fighting it off of me for about 3 weeks. I know he didn't want me to come over here and share anything. He didn't want me to come over and receive all that I've been receiving either. So when they sin, they open the door for the enemy to start working on them. Took longer for them to die than it does us. They lived a long time, didn't they?
900 years.
Took 900 years for them to die. It doesn't take that long for us today. He said, the serpent. Go to Genesis 3. Let's look at that first verse. I got to look at that. So the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. You know the devil's smarter than you are, and I. He's smarter than we are. And he knows your weak spots. He knows how to camouflage and get you into sin. And most of the time it's right there. Right there. If I was praying this morning, and I didn't know what Jack was going to teach on, but I was praying at the table before anybody got up. I get up and kind of tiptoe around. I'm an early riser. I get up and worship from 5 to 6 o'clock in the morning. And I was up this morning, I sat at the table, and I was sitting there praying. And I said, Lord, seal my lips. Put a watch over my tongue. Keep me from saying things I shouldn't say. And I was binding critical spirits and judgmental spirits, and I thought, man, when I was saying that, I'd go, well, brother, I'd rather go once before you this morning and repent it. Here I am, repent again. But you see, the serpent knows how to get us to sin. So he said here, said he was more subtle than in beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, so we see that he'll come up and he'll say, well, God doesn't love you. You ever have the devil tell you that? If he loved you, he wouldn't do this to you. He wouldn't let this happen to you. That's really what he says to me. Well, if he loved you, he wouldn't let this happen to you. So you rebuke him. Do you recognize him? Do you recognize who's talking to you when you hear that? And you say, you get out of here, devil, in the name of Jesus. By the way, the devil doesn't care how much you tell him to get out until you use the name of Jesus on him. You can say, get out of here, I hate you. He don't care. He hates you too. He wants to kill you. And he's been doing a good job of killing God's people because they won't believe what the Word says and they won't take the authority. You know, you can't counsel a demon out. You can't hope he'll go. You can't wish him out. And you can't throw him out without the name of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. God has given us power and authority to fight the enemy. And we're in a war. And the enemy wants your soul. After I finished this message at our church, I was sitting at my desk where I study, and the Lord began to speak to me, and he said, you've taught on soul ties, and you've taught on the soul. He said, now you need to teach on casting out the soul ties. That's another message. I might do sometime. I don't know. But I want you to know, we've been breaking soul ties. A lot of you believe you have a soul tie with other people and so forth, but you need to also call those souls out and call your soul back. If the soul that sinneth, it shall die, and the wages... See, there's a cost. There's a price to pay. Over in Romans 6, I said the wages of sin is death. Well, we don't always collect our wages for what the sin we do at the end of the week. You know? When you work, you get paid. You get your check at the end of the week. But when you're dealing in the spiritual realm, it doesn't always happen overnight. People do things and they say, well, I got away with that. Nobody knew about it. God did. So the door was open for the enemy to attack. And so death came through this. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. While you're going over there, I want to share something I saw in Genesis. You know, Eve was the one that sinned. The scripture tells us that she rebelled and disobeyed God. The scripture says that Adam didn't sin. He wasn't deceived, but Eve was. And over in Genesis, when God came and he spoke the curses. He cursed the serpent, said he would move on his belly, and the curse he put on woman was childbearing, and the curse that was put on man was he would till the earth, he would fight the thorns and thistles, which are the things where the curses we're fighting today. But you know, something really blessed me as I was looking at that in Genesis 3. I almost forgot about it. It almost slipped just then. The Lord spoke right back to me and said, you know, God really forgave Eve there. You know, man has put us down for so long, girls. I had to wait and shut this upstairs. We'd had a ball with this. But God forgave her, gave us. You know why? Through woman, Jesus came. God, He forgave us and He lifted us up. Man has tried to put us down and put us down, but God took care of it. Y'all didn't have to listen to that man. Praise the Lord. But over in 1 Corinthians in chapter 15 and verse 21, he said, "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." So as Adam's sin brought death upon the earth, see, man begins to die mentally, physically. Some of you are going to disagree with me, but that's okay. But look at what the Word says. The Word says the soul that sinneth it shall die, and the wages of sin is death. So death came in through disobedience to what God said for us, said in His Word. Don't partake. See, we have an elderly man in our church, and I'm young compared to him. He's 87. He sits on the front row, and every time I teach, share something, he sits there, and I can see his wheels turning. You know, by his sense knowledge, he's trying to understand what I'm saying. And I said, "I'm talking to you spiritually, Morton. Listen to me." I shouldn't call his name. He'd probably already mistake. And that's okay. He loves me. And I said, "Now listen to me by the Spirit." And this is what the Word is talking about. We, in the spiritual realm, is where the enemy works. He works in trying to destroy us and to get your soul, parts of your soul, remove it as you sin. Over in Psalm 7, verse 2, it says, "The soul is shredded and torn in pieces while there was none to deliver." And so as no one ever taught about the soul being torn and destroyed before, I never heard it until just a few years ago. I never heard it in the churches I'd ever been in, the different teaching. And so, therefore, the enemy just had a free will to do anything he wanted in the area of the soul of man to separate him from God. I hear people saying, talking about things that are happening in the world today, and if you stop and look, people have no conscience. Well, what's the conscience? It's part of the soul. And if they have no, that part of their soul is not there, they have no conscience. And somebody needs to start praying and asking God to restore it. God said He would restore the soul. He said He's the restorer of the soul, and if He restores it, He's going to complete it. He's going to bring it back to life, and it's not going to be dead like what the enemy has done to us and removed it and put other things in its place. Can you see that? Am I talking to myself?
No.
What I wanted to stress is that we need to go back, even through our sins of our forefathers, and repent of their sins, and ask God to restore our soul, that the enemy had a right to even harass it even before we were born, while we're in the womb, because of the sins of our forefathers, because of the sins of our fathers and mothers. I hear people say, "Well, my mother was a perfect angel." Well, I thought mine was too. But I don't know what my mother, I just knew what she wanted me to know, and my father. So, going on. But the Word tells us here that through the sin, the soul that sinned of Israel died, but through this sin, death came. And man began to die. You know, I really didn't intend to do a lot of talking about the soul, but it seems like I'm going to have to do a lot of it since I used that title. But the soul is a breathing creature. It's your vitality. It's your senses. It's your appetite. It's your desires. It's your heart. It's your mind. It's the pleasure. It's the will. And it's the emotion. It's your personality. And so, why would not the enemy want a man to sin so his soul could be destroyed and then he could replace it? Y'all heard me say this before. My daughter-in-law was doing deliverance on her, and I don't remember what I was going after on her, but this demon spoke to me, and he said, well, I can play the piano. I teach school. A spirit that had come in and took over her, become a part of her personality, was operating as her. And he said, you cast me out, and she can't do anything. I said, well, we'll chance it. And we cast him out. And she teaches her homeschools her children. But what I'm trying to show you through this is that they come in and they act so much like you, you think that is you. But then when you lose, do you ever have a time when you can't, something happens, you lose control? I see people, really spiritual people do this all the time. Just get, mad. Of course, I don't ever do that. But they do. And I don't like it. And so I go back and I want to find out why it's working like that. And I start calling anger out. Anger is just a symptom of whatever that is working there. And you say, well, why am I doing this? I don't really want to do it, but I'm doing it anyways, and I can't control it. When people tell me they don't have any demons, I said, well, do you ever lose your temper? Do you get angry? Do you get jealous? And you can't control it. You don't want to do that, but you do it. That's a demon in you. I share an upstairs with the women also on adultery. And I'm telling off on women, but the men need to know too. And the curses that come in through that, I'm not going to tell you what they are. There's a tape back there on it, but if you want to know, the women know. But the thing is, all these things that happen to us come in because that sin, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And death becomes a part of our life. And God, you say, well, we're going to die. And our people say this to me a lot of times. Say, we're going to die. I say, yeah, we're going to die. And they say, well, you got to be sick to die. And I said, why? Why do you have to be sick to die? If you're not, I'm going to live as long as I can. Long as the Lord wants me here, and as long as I'm going to live, when God gets through with me, I'll go home. Unless He comes first. But I don't want to go home sick. Amen. I don't find in the scripture that I got to go home sick. But the devil says, well, you know. And so what I'm trying to show you, if we will begin to believe that when we sin, we open, my whole emphasis is when you sin, you open the door for the devil and he comes in and you die a little bit more. That's the whole thing I'm saying to you this afternoon. That the more you sin, the more that you lose, the more that you chance the enemy can come in. Because the word says the curse can't cause us to come. The devil can't just walk in on you just because he wants to. But if you've got open sin in your life, he can. He's got an open door. If you're living in, if you've got a sin that you're hiding, the devil knows about it. You're not hiding from nobody, but because the devil knows, and of course God knows. And the devil's got a right to enter and to harass you and attack you and put anything he wants to on you. I don't care how much religiously you talk. I'm telling you, there's some spirits, religious spirits, that really sound good. They can quote you the scripture. They can tell you all things wrong with you. And you think, man, they're really knowledgeable. They sure are. It's religious spirits. Okay, going on. And let's go over and look at that scripture in Psalm 7. Let's look at it. Some of you know it because I've shared it a lot, but let's look at it. Psalm 7, verse 2, said, lest he tear my soul like a lion, rend it in pieces while there's none to deliver. Can I share this with you? Over in 1 Peter 5:8 or 4:8, I can't remember where this right at the moment, says that the devil goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And every time that you or I sin and don't repent of it instantly and ask God to forgive you, you've got an open door. And that roaring lion, it's not Satan himself. When I say the devil, I'm talking about demons. Okay? My husband, I think he's the spirit, but I call them what they are. They're demons. They're the devil's workmen. And he said, rend it in pieces while there is none to deliver. And David is talking here, and he says, oh, my God, if I have done this, if there be iniquity in my hands, if I've committed iniquity, if it's in my hand, if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him that without cause is my enemy. Let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. Yea, let him tread down my life upon the earth and lay mine honor in the dust. He said, if I sin, Lord, then, and open the door then against someone that's, you know, returning evil for good, do you know that happens? Then he says, let the enemy take my soul. I didn't say that. The Word said it. It's up there in the Scripture. And then he says, he restores our soul. Psalms 23. He said in Psalms 23, verse 3, he restores my soul. You know, I've heard that Scripture all my life. In fact, we memorized Psalms 23. And I think, that's just wonderful. Brother, have the slightest idea what he meant. He restores my soul. I didn't know I had lost. I didn't know it was missing. And my husband probably did. They married him almost 54 years. He thought he knew a lot of it was missing. But did you know what that meant? He said, well, it meant I got saved. Jesus said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to seek and to save, to bring back. The restore means to bring back home again. Look it up in your concordance. He bring back to where it belongs. And I pray many times for myself, Lord, restore to me, bring back to me the soul, the me you put in this house. I want all of my soul. I don't want anybody else's soul in here, and I don't want anything of the enemy. I want my soul, and I want to have the wisdom and knowledge and understanding that you have given me, and that you gave to Adam when you created him in the Garden of Eden. And before I ever knew anything at all about deliverance, I knew that there was had to be some place that we could walk where God said in his power and authority and not be defeated by the enemy, that we could walk as an overcomer and be the overcomer God wants us to be. He wants us to walk in divine health. He wants us to walk down the street and heal the sick. But we're always having to get ourselves healed and delivered. He wants us to go in and get the people around us delivered. He wants us to go and lay hands on the sick and open the eyes of the blind and to heal the lepers and to raise the dead. And we're not doing that. And he wants us to do it. And I said, God, I know there's a place to walk there. And I know it comes when it becomes a reality in my spirit, in your spirit, when the Word of God, when... I told y'all I was kind of going one way or another, but all of a sudden the Spirit quickens this to me. Let me share with you about the new birth. Can I share with you about the new birth? In the, being born again. When I was in the church, I almost said it, And I asked the pastor years ago, how did you get born again? And he said, you invite Jesus into your heart. Well, I knew that, but I wanted to know how you got born again. And so I was worrying him, you know, tell me. He said, oh, I'll get back to you. So he never got back to me, so I was still praying and sitting on my couch crying and said, God, I need to know. I'm going out talking to people about Jesus and being born again, and I don't know how to tell them. I said, you know, you invite Jesus into your heart and you get born again. Romans 10, I was quoting Romans, rolled, I had the four spiritual laws, had the whole thing. I had all the scriptures down there. But I knew that what happened to me, I knew I was different. And I wanted to share with them how they could be different. But I couldn't explain the new birth to them. So I said, Lord, I got to know. And so, one morning, about took me 6 months, real smart, for him to get through to me. And he said, you're born again exactly like Jesus was born in the world. And he took me over to Luke 1, and he quoted Scripture to me. And in fact, I picked my Bible up, and he began to show me. He said, as Mary, receive the Word of God in your spirit, the Word that Jesus came, that he lived, that he walked the earth, that he died, and that he rose again. You believe that. You receive that in your heart, and the Holy Spirit moves upon you. That seed, the Word's the seed that's planted, and Jesus is birthed. And as he begins to grow, as you water him, the seed with the Word, he grows. And see, what he wants to do is for him to mature in us, that he will grow up in us. And he comes forth as we take the Word, as we get the house cleaned out where he can grow. There's been many spiritual abortions where the seed is aborted and the person is not they'd have to receive the Lord, go back and start all over again. But this is the way, what he wants, and this is what way Adam walked over in the Garden of Eden. He walked as a perfect man, and God is trying to mature men and trying to raise us up and bring us into that place. And so the enemy doesn't want us to walk there, and how does he stop us? He works on the soul, and he takes a part of it, and he tries to put us in our grave. But God wants us to walk as overcomers, and we need to begin by asking the Lord to restore every part of our mind, our will, and our emotions, and to repent of the sins that we do, and to rebuke the spirits of death, get delivered from the spirits of death. He says in Psalms 103, he said, he restores my youth like the eagle. Well, why are we walking? Why do I look so old? Because we need to get rid of the sin in our lives. We need to get rid of the spirits that came in. We didn't get this way overnight. People come in, won't get delivered, and won't set me free. And you can't get set free overnight. You get free from a lot of stuff anytime you go into deliverance. But you got this way over all these years you've been on this earth. And so God does it as we're able to possess our land. He wants us to walk in maturity. He wants us to be set free. And as he said here in Psalms 23, that he restores our soul. Well, look at Psalms 19. We sing this in our church. Sometimes I think the people don't pay attention to what they're singing. We need to listen to some when we sing a lot of scripture. And we do here too. He says in verse 7, Psalms 19, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And in my Bible, there's a little footnote by that word, converting. And it means restoring the soul. And if you hear Brother Tommy preaching, he said, I didn't know he was in back there. I hadn't seen him. I guess I did see him walk in. But he talks about to walk in the kingdom, the soul's got to be cleansed. It's got to be renewed. It's got to be restored. And it's got to be delivered. God wants his people set free. And he wants our soul to be restored. And we get into the Word. And we commit, after we receive deliverance and walk in the air of the soul, then the scripture says, in I think it's in 1 Peter, I'm not sure where it is right at the moment, that we commit the keeping of our soul to him. And he will keep it. He watches over it. Okay, going on. I'll give you another scripture, and I've got two more scriptures, and I'm going to let Jim do deliverance. Praise the Lord. He didn't know that. Oh, in Ezekiel chapter 13. Somebody said, Jack or Carol One touched on this yesterday. But I want to give you another one on the script, on the soul. Witchcraft. The false prophet. The whole chapter 13 of Ezekiel talks about the false prophet that can remove the soul. It talks from the beginning to the end. All the way through, and we need to be aware of it. And he said, and I'm just going to read a little bit of it, in verse 17, says, likewise, thou son of man, set thy face against the daughters of thy people, which prophesy their own heart, and prophesy thou against them. It's not only the daughters that prophesy their own heart, it's also the false prophets of the men and women both that do this. And we've seen this, and you've heard it too, also. And it says, and say, thus saith the Lord God, woe to the women that sew pillows to all armholes and make kerchiefs upon the heads of every statue to hunt souls. Will you hunt the souls of my people, and will you save the souls alive that come unto you? I've said this before, but I want to say it here again, because there's people here that I haven't said it, haven't heard it. People, for this says here, will you hunt the souls of my people, will you save alive souls alive that come unto you, and then, let me finish reading, and then I'll tell you. And will you pollute me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread to slay the souls that should not die and to save the souls alive that should not live by your lying to my people that hear your lies? He said, there's people that are alive because the one that hunts the souls. Witchcraft causes souls can be made to fly. Astral projection, soul travel. See, the devil couldn't have all that if it wasn't he wasn't counterfeiting. And everything that God has given us, the devil counterfeits. And so they, through witchcraft, they remove the soul. Norman Parrish tells a lot about this. Y'all get one of his tapes on it. He really goes into it. He knows a lot about it. And people, there are people in nursing homes that are vessels that the enemy uses because they are they don't even know who they are or where they are. And the enemy keeps them alive to steal their family's finances, to cause strife and worry in the family, to cause dissension. See, this is another ploy where the devil goes in and removes the soul, and he'll do it through drugs. Oh, if I had time, I'd tell you just a lot of the things that I know about how the enemy does this through drugs and so forth. But he keeps them alive when they need to, even if they were Christians. See, people say, well, that didn't happen to my mother. She was a good Christian woman. That doesn't make a bit of difference if she was a good Christian woman, because the Word says my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And he says, because they reject knowledge, I'll reject their children. And and because they've rejected the truth, the leaders have not taught it in the church, and you can't really blame them altogether, because they walk around with the Bible in their hand, and we need to read it and find out what it says. And they blame the preachers and blame everybody else, and they carry the Bible around, and they don't even know what it says. That's a blow the dust off if you go in the house. It's the truth. And God wants us to know the Word. He wants us to know every trick of the devil. I tell you, I get up and share with people about fighting the enemy. And you know, the Scripture tells us for two or three witnesses let everything be established. Oh, excuse me. I'm getting an echo. And so as I share, the enemy will do the same thing. He'll send somebody around and say, that woman's out of her mind. Don't believe her. He'll do that. He'll steal it if you let him. I don't believe me. Get into this and find out what it's saying. He said that sin opens the door for the death to come in, and if you want to die, just keep sinning, and the death will take you. Just like over in Job, Job said, the thing that I greatly fear has come upon me. Fear opens the door. Okay, one more scripture, and then I'll go. But I want you to see that. And that, then there's people, let me finish this, there are people that die that need to be alive, to do God's work. They are good Christians. They love the Lord. And yet they end up crippled and sick and die. And God wants them to be healthy and whole and walking in the knowledge of the Word. And I'm telling you, God wants us well. He wants us healed. He wants us delivered. He wants us to stop having to minister to ourselves and go out and get the world saved. And go, everywhere you go, you should be so lit up with Jesus that when you walk in the store, that they can see a light and they'll come over and say, hey, what is that light? And they come to see the light of God upon you and I. And that's what I want. And I'm going to have it. God said I could have everything in this book, and it's mine. And none of y'all going to take it away from me, but tell me I'm wrong. Because, once I know, nobody can take it away from me. I've had good people try to take it away from me, and they can't do it because I believe the Word. And it works for me. It works for me, and it works for you. And you just hang in there. Oh, okay. Romans 8. Let's go. Let's get a good scripture before we close. Romans 8. Chapter 8, verse 16. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If we're the children of God, then every promise in this book is mine. And the blessings of the Lord belong to me. If I will walk in the Word and obey Him and obey the Word, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. If we're children of God, then we're joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything He did it for you and I. Everything that happened to Him, everything. He raised the dead, He healed the sick, and He cleansed the leper, and He opened the eyes of the blind. He cast out devils. He said, freely you've received, freely give. And then He went to the cross for us, and He was resurrected, and He sent back the Holy Spirit to teach us truth. And it all belongs to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. So, how to get your soul back? Repent of sin. of disobedience to God. My son told me, said, Mother, I was sitting up in Sunday school class over in the Presbyterian Church, and he was 16 years old. And a Sunday school teacher was teaching on 1 John, I don't remember what chapter. He told me this after he was a man and after he'd been through hell and back. And he said, I closed my Bible one Sunday morning, and I said, I'm not going to believe that junk. And he said, I turned away. He had to repent of that. And when he repented and God brought him into the kingdom, guess where God took him? Right back to 1 John. He started in the scriptures right where he closed the Bible. He repented. And so we must repent of our disobedience to God. Repent of rebellion, for rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. Forgive. Ask God to forgive you and forgive you, forgive yourself and forgive others. Confess your sins. Don't make excuses for them. Confess them. Confess your sins. You know, we're real good at confessing other sins. But we need to confess our own. And our biggest sin is not believing the Lord. Believing the Word. Sister Miller was talking about being healed. The Word is God's Word. And we need to believe it. We need to believe this Word. Because, let me tell you something. It works every time that someone... the Lord gave me last Wednesday from our church before we left home to teach on nothing shall be impossible with God.
Amen.
And to him that believeth, all things are possible. And that was the message that I brought last Wednesday night. And let me tell you, nothing shall be impossible with God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Yes, just a minute, I'll have to change this around. I don't want to see your hands. You got any overcomers here? Now, don't stick up your hand. I don't want to embarrass you. What's an overcomer? One who has defeated the devil in his own life. Are you there yet? This is what we're about. This is what deliverance is about, is putting the devil in his place, and that's outside of our life and barring the door that he can't get back in. I don't want to preach. I just wanted to share with you that as overcomers, we get rid of the demonic forces that harass us, and we defeat him every time he raises his head. We stamp our foot on his neck and we keep him there and not allow him to have rule, reign, or dominion in our life. Hallelujah. Father, set us free, Lord. We are needy people. We come in need today, Father. The enemy is attacked, and we need to be set free from the bondage and the demonic forces that are attacking us, Father. We have disobeyed. We have not been obedient into your word. We confess now our sin of disobedience and not obeying, and we ask, Father, that you set us free from the enemy that has run in when we've opened these doors to him. And we just praise you now and give you glory, for we know that your word is true, and we just thank you for setting us free this day in the name of Jesus. The word says that the word of God is quick and it's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and it is the discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. God knows all about you. God knows where you are. You can sit and deny that you have demons, that you're not harassed, that you are sufficient within yourselves, but God knows. Let's get free. Let's get free. As I call demons out, you uncross your legs, put your feet flat on the floor. If you've got rubble trouble with your hands, don't clench them. Set them down on your knees or something. But don't clench your fist and don't cross your arms. These are acts of defiance, and I'll not receive that. And as I call them, your part is to silently say, you've got to go. If you're in there, you cannot stay in me. You cannot abide in me. I'll not have you any longer. Go silently. Don't pray out loud. You can pray all you want to. Don't do it out loud. They will not come up over your prayers. Their demons will not move through that. So here, that's the drill. I break soul tie between every person here and their natural mother. In the name of the Lord Jesus, every evil soul tie. And I call your soul back from your mother. in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I ask the angels to remove your mother's soul from you in the name of the Lord Jesus. To return it back to her, whether living or dead, it doesn't matter. Many under that problem in your life. I've had to deal with it already this week here in camp. I break a soul tie between you and your natural father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I command that soul of your father to depart from you, leave you, and to go back to your father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to return your soul unto you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Every soul that has been picked up in you that is not of you yourself, I command them to go in the name of the Lord Jesus. I break soul ties with everyone that you've had dealings with in the name of the Lord Jesus that has put a portion of that soul within you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I command that soul to release you and to go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to loose you in Jesus' name and to come out. Come out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Loose them. Loose them and come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Everything that you have a soul tie with, the things of life that you have put a part of your soul in, that's the word you used. I put my soul in that. I call that out of your life and out of your soul in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I release you from that bondage in the name of Jesus. And I command that thing to go in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command it out in Jesus' name to release you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to set you free in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. All the evil soul ties, the soul ties that you form with friends, I command them to go in the name of Jesus, with relations in the name of Jesus. I command those evil soul ties to be gone and that soul to come out in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus, come out of them. Come out of them. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I cast those evil soul ties out this day in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord sets you free. It is the Lord that sets you free from those things that have harassed you, some even from childhood. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I release you from that bondage. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, I call sin out. I call that spirit of sin in the name of the Lord Jesus. And there is a spirit of sin, and if you read about him in Genesis, that he lies by your door. Their sin lieth by your door. And I call that spirit of sin out in the name of Jesus. Loose them. Spirit of sin, come out in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I call fear. Fear out. Fear is trusting in the devil more than you do the Lord. That's what fear is. You're afraid of what the devil's going to do to you. Do you want fear? I command fear. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Loose this people. Loose this people in the name of Jesus. I come against you and I bind your power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I command you. I command you to go from this people in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All types of fear. All fears. All types of fear. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Fear of heights. Fear of death, fear of women, fear of men, fear of being enclosed, fear of darkness, fear of snakes, any type of fear. Fear, all fears, big fears, small fears, little fears. Come out in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus, let them go, let them go. All the terror, terror, come out in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus, fears and terrors, come out in Jesus' name. A spirit of paranoia. Paranoia, I command it to go in Jesus' name. Manic depression in Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus, panic. Panic. Sheer panic. It strikes upon you. In the name of Jesus, I call it out. Call it out. I call it just being afraid. Being afraid in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Fear separation. Fear separation. I call out separation. I call out separation in families. I call out divorce. Divorce. In the name of the Lord Jesus, that spirit of divorce. In the name of Jesus, I break its power over you in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, and I command it to go. Spirit of divorce. Spirit of separation. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' name. I call out rejection. rejection, that spirit of rejection, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, rejection, come out, loose them and let them go. The Lord rebukes rejection, rejection, come out in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I call out a spirit of compromise, compromise, let them go, the Lord rebukes you, spirit of compromise, come out in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Greed, greed, spirit of greed, in Jesus' name. Let him go. Move, move, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Breathe in now. Breathe in and breathe out. Very deep. Come on. Blow them out. Blow them out. Cough them out. Start them. Stir them up. Get them moving. Get them moving. We don't want these things, so we don't want to carry them home with us. We want to be set free. Stir them up. Stir them up in Jesus' name. Bitterness, all bitterness. Bitterness, come on out of there. Move, move, in the name of Jesus. Bitterness. Come out. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes all bitterness and all compromise and all greed in the name of Jesus. Come on out. Come on out. Move, move, in Jesus' name. Pride, spirits of pride, in the name of Jesus. Pride of life. Pride of life. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. All types of pride. Leviathan, king of pride. I break your power and your hold in the name of the Lord Jesus. I bind you in Jesus' name, but I command you to loose this people. Pride, pride, in Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. Come on out. Come on out. Move. Ego, ego, self-esteem, self-esteem. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Let them go. Come out. Come out. Self-esteem. Spirits of rebellion. Rebellion. Come on out. Move, move, move in Jesus' name. Rebellion, you have to go. You're defeated. The Lord Jesus Christ has defeated rebellion. Now I command you, loose them. Loose them and come out. Rebellion. Rebellion has no place. Rebellion has no place in God's economy. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Self-will. Self-will. Ego. Hard-hearted spirits. Hard-hearted spirits. Calloused spirits, stiff neck, in the name of Jesus, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. I bind that lawyer legal spirit, in the name of Jesus, all the legality of the word, the legal spirit, in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus, the lust, I bind lust, lust, and the spirit of lust, lust of the eye, lust of the eye. Lust of the flesh. Lust of the flesh. I bind you and I cast you out. In Jesus' name. Come on out. Come on out. Move, 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 move. Lust is here. Lust is here. And lust has to go. Lust has to go. You don't want to hold on to lust. Lust, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Lust. Lust is the craving and unusual desire for anything. We've always attacked it or attached it to a sexual act. But it is a craving and an unusual desire for anything. And I call lust out. We can lust after all types of things. Now, lust, lust, let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. I call that spirit of lust. The spirit of lust out. It can't stay. It can't stay in God's people. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I call lust. Lust in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. Come out. Lust of the eye and lust of the flesh. Lust of the flesh and lust of the eye. You've got to go. You've got to go. Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on out. Come on out. In the name of Jesus. 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 In the name of the Lord Jesus. Let them go. Let them go. Spirit of seduction. Spirit of seduction. Spirit of perversion. Spirit of perversion. Seduction and perversion. In the name of Jesus, I call a homosexual spirit out. Homosexual spirit, I come against you. I bind you. I bind that homosexual spirit. In the name of Jesus, I bind lesbian spirits. Lesbian spirits, I command you to go. Command you to go. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Spirits of nakedness. Nakedness. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I call out spirits of nakedness. In Jesus' name. Pornography. Spirits of pornography. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Strife. Strife. You've got to go. You've got to go in the name of Jesus. I call strife out in Jesus' name. Hatred. Hatred, spirit of hatred, aggression and anger. Come out in Jesus' name. Resentment, you've got to go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. Jesus, temper. Call spirits of temper, violence, rage, in the name of Jesus. I call a jealousy spirit out. Spirits of jealousy, come on out. Come out. Temper, violence, all the temper, violence and rage. Deception, spirits of deception. Resentment, anger, aggression, hatred. All those spirits, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. Jesus. Call lying spirits. Spirits of disobedience. Lying spirits. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Deceivers. Deceiving spirits. Deceiving spirits in Jesus' name. Disobedience. Disobedience in Jesus' name. Covenant breakers. Covenant breakers. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. I call out evil thoughts. Evil thoughts in the name of the Lord Jesus. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Rebellion. Rebellion. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Spirits of rebellion. Spirits of destruction. Destruction in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Abaddon. Apollyon. You've got to go. Destruction and the destroyer. You cannot stay. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. All spirits of destruction and the destroyer. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Depression. Depression. Come out. The Lord rebuke you. Spirits of depression. Suicide. I bind that spirit of suicide in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I cast it out. I cast out the spirit of suicide, despondency, heaviness, discouragement in the name of Jesus. Let them go. Let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. Jesus. Discouragement. Defeat. I call out defeat and hopelessness. Hopelessness in the name of Jesus. I call out adultery. Unfaithfulness, harlotry, fornication, evil pleasure, evil imagination, homosexual spirits, sodomy spirits, demonic sex spirits, bestiality, perverted spirits, confusion, call confusion out, spirit of confusion. Call the mixture out, the mixture where we mix in the world with our spiritual life in the name of Jesus. I bind that spirit of the world in the name of Jesus. And I call that spirit of the world out in the name of the Lord Jesus. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. I call the spirit of abortion. Abortion. Spirit of abortion. Come out. Come out. Child sacrifice. Child sacrifice. In the name of Jesus. Let them go. Let them go. In Jesus' name. Murder. Murder in the name of Jesus. Let them go. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Spirits of murder. Murder. Spiritual bondage. Slavery. Slavery. Idolatry. False worship. Idol worship. Loose them. Come out. Come out. Unforgiveness. Spirit of unforgiveness. Spirit of unforgiveness. Let them go. I cast out unbelief, unbelief, that spirit of unbelief, that spirit of doubt, doubt that comes in, spirit that will not let you believe, unbelief, unbelief of the word, that word that is alive and powerful. I cast out that unbelief in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let them go, in Jesus' name. Spirit of unforgiveness, unforgiveness, unforgiveness of self. Unforgiveness of self. Unforgiveness of others. Unforgiveness of others I cast out. Unforgiveness of God I cast out. That spirit that says you can't forgive God. In the name of Jesus, the Lord rebuke that spirit. I cast you out. I cast you out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The Lord rebuke you. Evil imagination. Evil imagination. Thief. False witness. Self-exaltation, self-exaltation, the charming spirit, unbelief, unbelief, stubbornness, hatred, Provocation, wickedness, and wrath. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Loose them and let them go. Strife, oppression, pride, foolishness. Foolishness, spirit of foolishness. I cast out foolishness in the name of Jesus. Foolishness has no place in a Christian. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Vanity, spirits of vanity in the name of the Lord Jesus. Spirits of anger again. Hypocrisy, spirits of hypocrisy. Come out. Filthy communication, filthy communication. Come on out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Spiritual wickedness. Spiritual wickedness. Doubt, I come against you again. Spirit of doubt. I bind that spirit of doubt and cast it out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Doubt, let them go. Let them go. Let them go. In Jesus' name. Depression, hopelessness, resentment. Spirit of death. Spirit of death. I come against that spirit of death and I bind its power. I bind death in the name of Jesus and I cast it out. I strip it of all power in the name of Jesus. I cast out that spirit of death in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Delusions. Spirit of delusion. In Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' name. I cast out that spirit of rock music, that rock music we picked up in younger days. I cast out rock music in Jesus' name, in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Come on out, come on out, spirit, move, move. Come on out, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Rejection. I cast out rejection again. Self-pity. Jealousy. Jealousy. Spirits of jealousy. Depression. And worry. I cast out worry in the name of Jesus. Let them go. Let them go. Inferiority. Spirits of inferiority. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Insecurity. All insecurity spirits. Come out. Come out. Mental torment. Mental torment. Spirits of procrastination. Procrastination. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Indecision. Indecision. Compromise. Rationalization. Cast out loss of memory. Loss of memory. Let them go. Let them go. In the name of Jesus. I take authority over spirit of cancer. In Jesus' name. And I bind its power and cast it out. You'll not manifest yourself in this congregation. Cancer. By the word of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, you will bow. You will bow. Every knee bows, it says, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let's all stand. Those that are working, continue to work. Rest on the
same. The anointing will break every bondage. The anointing will set the captive free. Oh, the anointing will heal and deliver. Let the anointing now flow to me. The anointing will break every bondage. The anointing will set the captives free. The anointing will heal and deliver.
That's
the anointing.
Okay, I plan to. And bless the food, too.
Oh, the anointing will heal and deliver. That's the anointing.
Of Jesus. Oh. the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.